This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I'm just trying to picture LeBron as like Eugene Levy in American Pie. As the father there.
Oh my God, that guy was fantastic in that movie. Jim, I'd like to have a conversation about... Not going to finish that sentence.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Before we get back to the Sixers and the Knicks...
Day betting alert!
That's right, baby.
Day betting alert!
We have got a 210 first pitch, Joseph. Have at it.
All right, so I got to bring this up to make sure I have this right. We're going to do a new one here, all right? So the way it works around these parts is that we, if you hit your last one, you get to keep it rolling. I think I hit one on a no-run first inning last time out, which was a while ago, but we're back. First opportunity since. So here's what we're going to do. Now, this game starts at what, 2:10 Eastern?
Correct.
Okay, so we're going to make sure we stay on the air because this one's going to happen fast. Is everyone ready? Do we have a drum roll, Handman? I would like a drum roll for this one. It means that much to me. You're shaking your head no. If it's a no, then I can... All right. Here we go. Today's day betting alert in the White Sox-Minnesota Twins game. We are betting that the first pitch will be a ball plus 130.
Wow.
You can bet the first pitch. So ball is plus 130. Strike or foul, minus 120. That's your favorite. In play, 8-1. So if you want to bet, it's ground out, fly out, pop out, single, double, triple, home run, all those options. That's 8-1. We're going to go ahead. We're going to play for a little candy here. We're going to bet a little bit of a sloppy first pitch. It's Bailey Ober versus Chris Flexen. Who's even home in this game? That shows you how deep I've handicapped this.
So it's White Sox are home.
It's going to be Bailey Ober who, get this, in the first inning this season has an ERA north of 7. He has struggled in the first inning. Maybe he comes out. Maybe it's nerves facing this White Sox lineup. Not exactly murderer's row, but the White Sox getting hot at the right time. That's obviously a joke. We're going to bet that the first pitch is a ball plus 130. We will alert you as we're getting close. Handman, I will need the game on in here, please, if possible.
Am I wrong to say that under normal circumstances, this might feel like one of those wagers where someone would be chasing a little bit? Like if I'm having a rough day, and it's not going smooth, and I had a wrong night last night. I'm looking at the cart. Let's just get after it right away. First pitch ball.
That is classic Joe Fortenball month of August right before football starts on a Sunday.
I got nothing else going
on. Anyone who knows, the week is settled Sunday evening, wink, wink. For those who know, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you find yourself in deep on Sunday and you're looking to chase and you're playing all the permutations of what you can gamble on early to try to start making it back. No one really wants to get into the weeds on this. It's very depressing stuff. The point is, sometimes it can be a heat check bet as well.
Sure.
Let's look at it as a heat check. Let's see. We're good enough to call out the first pitch.
Positive vibes.
This is positive vibes. ESPN bet. First pitch ball. White Sox Twins plus 130.
That's the next piece of merch after we get the first one. Positive vibes. We're a vibe. Carlin versus Joe, we're a vibe. I think that works.
It sounds nice.
Max, he's got the ball. Looking to go to overtime. Maxi for a three straight away. It's good. 8 seconds to go. He made it.
I don't think they could win with Joel Embiid. He's never healthy this time of year. But I do think they could win with Tyrese Maxey. He's only going to continue to get better.
I think Tyrese Maxey, not just last night and certainly during this year, I think he's the face of the franchise. I don't think it's Joel Embiid. I think Maxey is more reliable.
I trust my work. I trust what I've done all my life and try to get to a spot and raise up and knock a shot down.
I mean, an amazing performance last night by Tyrese Maxey in a spot where the Sixers absolutely needed it in the worst way. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Look, that was a do-or-die situation. They were up against it. They're down 6. And this guy goes out there and finds ways to get it done. Kudos on 46. So many of them coming in big spots. You heard a little bit there of Bobby Marks, Joe. A little bit more here on the front office insider from ESPN here on the NBA on where exactly you would put Tyrese Maxey in his stature with the Sixers now.
I think Tyrese Maxey, not just last night and certainly during the series and certainly during this year, I think he's the face of the franchise. I don't think it's Joel Embiid. I think Maxey is more reliable. I think you know what you're going to get. As dominant as Embiid can be in games, I think Tyrese Maxey is the face of the franchise. If I'm building a team and as great as Embiid has been, I mean, I'm looking square out my point guard who continuously bailed them out last night. I mean, he bailed that team out and gave them life to why they're playing in game six.
I can't go there yet. I don't believe he's the face of the franchise yet. I believe that's still Joel Embiid. I understand it, but I do believe we are kind of acting to being prisoners of the moment when we say that. Having said all of that, there's no question in my mind he will be. I just don't believe we're there quite yet.
This is where stars are born. I mean, we're going through that complete transitional phase right now where Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, all of them eliminated before the start of the second round. First time since 2005 we have gone to the second round of the postseason without any of those three players, Durant, Curry, or LeBron James. And in their stead, Anthony Edwards putting up huge nights in a sweep of the Phoenix Suns. Everyone's talking about whether or not he's the face of the league moving forward. Jalen Brunson showing everyone he's every bit worthy of conversation as an MVP candidate on the big stage against Philadelphia in several key spots. He had a monster game last night that people are going to completely forget about because of Tyrese Maxey. Another young star stepping up under the bright lights on the big stage. Is he the face of the organization? That's a classic sports talk radio conversation. I think you make an interesting point that we could be prisoners in the moment. Yeah, there's a great case to be made there. But I think more than anything else, Tyrese Maxey's the future. You want to have that conversation? He is the future of this franchise because Joel Embiid can continue to be the star, but he's also going to continue to be hurt. He's going to continue to slow down in terms of production. He has really fallen off in this series, and it's because he's dinged up and he's doing everything he can to help this team win. But the future is around the corner, and people are realizing whether Embiid goes, whether Embiid stays, what are we going to do with Embiid? You know what? For the first time in 10 years, we're not talking about Embiid. We're talking about Maxey. We're talking about a guy Ben Simmons was supposed to be, a guy Markelle Fultz was supposed to be, a guy Jahlil Okafor was supposed to be, a guy everyone was hoping James Harden last year would be. It turns out it's Tyrese Maxey. Finally, someone filled this void, and it's just so refreshing to see it in Philadelphia because whether or not Embiid goes, maybe he wants out. Okay, fine. He's out. We turn to Tyrese Maxey. He's going to be the future of the franchise.
I'll tell you what. If Embiid wants out, there will be people lining up to play with Maxey. Lining up. I mean, I don't know if you're Embiid, you know, he makes all these comments last night. I want to play it for you real quick. I just want to incorporate this about how great New York is, right? Because he's asked about getting trolled by the New York fans, and he still makes sure to come out there and tell you about how much he loves it.
It's not hostile. I mean, I love New York. New York is, you know, my favorite city in the world. I have a place here for the past 5 years, so...
I mean, we get it. We get it, right? We understand that he loves New York because he's thinking about down the line. If I'm Embiid, stop thinking about down the line because down the line is right next to you. You should want to play with this guy and everything that we have talked about with Tobias Harris being gone mercifully at the end of this season. If you can get the right guy in there, this is going to be your best chance. This is what, you know, Woj just talked about this being the transfer portal this offseason. This is what if you're Embiid, you have to understand the grass is not always going to be greener. I'll just ask you flat out, and I know how amazing of a player if he is. If you're Embiid right now, would you rather go to New York and play with Brunson, or would you rather stay here and play with Tyrese Maxey?
I would rather stay because Anthony Gargano, who's covered Philadelphia sports for as long as I can remember, was on with us earlier. He made an incredible point that we never went back to because we've been talking about a million different things today. But he said that Daryl Morey's been setting up this offseason. And you've got Embiid, you've got Maxey, and I don't know if this is true. He said you got no one else under contract. Is that true? Does Philadelphia really have nobody else under contract for the next season? And by that, I'm not talking about some guy who's like the 15th guy down the bench who might be under contract. I'm talking about are all of them off the books? Is Kyle Lowry gone? Tobias Harris we know is gone, which by the way, real quick, shout out Tobias Harris. Last night was the lowest his player scoring prop had been all season. It was 10.5. We bet the over on ESPN Bet Live. We're back on ESPN2 today. Boom, 5 p.m. Eastern. That ended up hitting. He hit that early in the third, I believe. Shocker. I know. Tobias Harris figuring out how to go over on a scoring prop. And here we go. We got the first pitch coming up here. White Sox flexing. First pitch. Oh, he's warming up. Woo. That got me going. Did we lose Carlin? Lost connection. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Lock in, everybody. The big man's at least watching at home. Here's the bet for today. Day betting alert. It's the White Sox. It's the Twins. White Sox are at home. Flexen's on the mound. The bet is that the first pitch will be a ball. Price is plus 130 on ESPN Bet right now. If the ball is in play, that's 8-1. That means any sort of ground out, fly out, anything of that nature, a hit, single, double, triple, all of it. 8-1. A strike or a foul, minus 120. Feels like they should divide up strike and foul, give us more options. But here we go. Buckle in. Everyone in the back, very stressful right now. Quiet on set. Flexen. Oh, we're not allowed to do play-by-play here. I'll just kind of filibuster with a lot of nonsense as he throws. Oh, that's outside, but he calls it a strike. We got controversy early.
You are one pathetic loser.
That was high and inside, and they called it a strike. It's a losing bet. We'll never do this again. Are three of the NBA's biggest stars done winning titles? Feels like there doesn't need to be that much emotion when reading a radio tease, but you got it anyway. That's next. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
All right, we have two for you in tonight's matchup between Boston and Miami. Pick number one is going to be the Celtics team total under 107.5 points. So we're betting that the Celtics score fewer than 108 points, right? You're with me here so far? Miami has nothing to do with this, essentially. All right, so now that we've got that locked in, here's the key data. Number one, Celtics have only gone over this number one time in four games this series. It's not like they're putting up big numbers. Miami is very good at slowing the game down, playing good defense, mucking it up for the opposition. And if you take Kristaps Porzingis out of the equation for Boston, it's going to be harder, not easier, to score. I think Miami's going to find a way to throw a wrench into Boston's plans tonight and jam this thing up a little bit. Keep in mind, we also have the lowest total of the entire series at 199 points. So it's projected as a low-scoring game. We're going to go Celtics team total under 107.5. In addition, player prop, little juicy here. Jason Tatum, yes, to record a double-double. It's minus 160, which means you're risking $16 to win $10. He's had 10 or more rebounds in three of the four games in this series. His low is 8, so he's got a really high floor. He's going to be asked to crash the glass more now that Kristaps Porzingis is out for the remainder of the series. So those are your two pizza monies for Boston-Miami. Celtics team total under 107.5. Jason Tatum, double-double, yes, minus 160.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Shannon Sharp on First Take was discussing the legacies of LeBron, Durant, and Steph. Let's take a listen.
The sun is setting on a two-decade run for this trinity.
Okay.
It's really as simple as that. The days of these guys used to be good enough
to impact the game alone and get you wins. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
All right, I got a question I want to ask everyone. Sorry, Carlin, I'm going to jump in here real quick. But before I do that, I want you to listen to the beginning of this audio again. This is a Joe Fornball special right here. Listen to Stephen A's reaction when Shannon starts the take, okay? Just listen. Go ahead.
The sun is setting on a two-decade run for this Trinity.
Okay.
It's really...
Okay, you can stop right there.
Like, all right, I got to take this in.
Hang on. Here we go. Yeah, this is a big one right here. It's like, the degrees to which the takes range on that show. It's like, all right.
Now I want to hear it again.
Yeah,
I want to hear it again.
One more time.
The sun is setting on a two-decade run for this Trinity.
Okay.
He is the absolute master of just watching that show is performance art. Yesterday when he was eating the pie... After whatever had happened, I interrupted the entire meeting. I couldn't take my eyes off it. All right, so back to business. Back to business now. Mm. 2005 was the last time we had a year in which the second round of the playoffs in the NBA started without LeBron James, without Steph Curry, and without Kevin Durant. Moving forward, Fortinball Palace is opening a prop for you three gentlemen, Chris Carlin, Evan Wilner, Eric Hanneman. Okay, here's the prop. Curry plus LeBron plus KD. Over, under, half an NBA championship the rest of the way out for their careers. So all combined, if you're betting the over, you just need one of those guys to win one. If you're betting the under, you're saying that all three finish their careers without winning another title. Chris Carlin, we begin with you. Would you bet the over or under half a championship?
I'd go the over. Barely. And here's the only reason why. Steph's not going anywhere. Steph's going to finish his career in Golden State. I don't think he's winning another title there. I don't know what LeBron's doing. I don't know what's important to LeBron at this point other than the $50 million a year that he's going to get from the Lakers here when he opts out and he can get a two-year extension at that kind of money. I think I could see KD going somewhere else and being a piece of a championship team. You know, not the primary part, but I think there's a better chance of him going there. So I would take the over with the understanding that between the three of them, I think they will win one more.
Okay, Carlin's going with the over. I might have to think about adjusting my prop.
Is there any kind of juice there?
I was kind of thinking -110 both ways so far.
Okay,
it's just your standard coin flip. The house will take its 10%. Thank you very much. But outside of that, we're going to treat you all fairly. Evan Wilner, over under half a championship the rest of the way out for LeBron, plus KD, plus Steph.
Yeah, I'll go over.
Over as well?
Yeah, over.
Any rationale, or that's the end?
So I was trying to find the audio, but I didn't get it in time. This morning, they were just floating, like, what's going to happen with Phoenix? And Bobby Marks, who doesn't, like, hot take at all, kind of just floated the idea of, you know, OKC has all these assets. They have all these draft picks. They have a young team that maybe needs like a veteran star. Does Kevin Durant go back to Oklahoma City where it all started and finally deliver the title that OKC hasn't had yet? Like, I could see that being important to Kevin Durant and something he'd be interested in doing this offseason. So I'm going to say over because I think Kevin Durant could go to like OKC and win a title.
The prodigal son returns. I love it how it's sold as a favor to OKC when he left them high and dry for the Warriors.
Exactly.
Oh.
Everybody, I'm back. You're welcome.
Yeah. Like, that would be something else.
You're like walking in like Kenny Powers.
Like, there was a famous story. I remember covering this. When the Warriors would go back there, I don't want to necessarily say something that's going to get us in trouble, but wasn't there like a big cupcake thing? Does anyone remember that? If I remember correctly, I think the fans started calling him a cupcake or something like that. Like, OKC fans were going at him when he came back to OKC as a member of the Warriors. Oh, we got to look that up. I remember there's some whole thing about that.
Thunder fans chanting cupcake at Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Here's why.
Your boy still got it.
It started with a Russell Westbrook Instagram post when Durant said he was leaving the Thunder, but apparently now it's a battle cry. When Westbrook and Durant were teammates, Kendrick Perkins would poke fun at the Thunder players who were soft by calling them cupcakes. So this is on Perks in this, too.
Big Perk.
Yeah. It became a running joke between Durant and Westbrook, But that's the. But then the fans started showing up in cupcake T-shirts, and there's a picture of one guy with a giant cupcake painted on his 400-pound belly with KD written on the cupcake.
Yeah, I remember that being a big thing. That wasn't like all in good fun. I think I remember that being one of those "don't mention this on the air" type things.
Really?
I think that really rubbed. I don't want to speak.
It rubbed KD the wrong way, or the Warriors?
I think it rubbed KD the wrong way, but I'm not positive. I don't want to.
Stunning.
I just remember that being a bigger deal than it would sound like, given the way you just laid that out. Like, it sounds like good-natured heckling. Yeah. I feel like there was more to that back then.
Maybe there was. I didn't want to go through and read the whole thing.
That's we don't have all day. We read the headlines around here, and then we go right to the comments section. That's
exactly.
Carlin
There's no
Joe.
Need for context.
Hanneman, no. You're up. I might have to adjust the price. I got a lot of over money coming in right now. Over under half a championship won the rest of the way out. LeBron plus Steph plus KD.
I'm going to be different by being the same, actually, going over here.
I don't even. Where do I even begin with that? If you're me, how do you respond to that?
Adjust your price.
I don't know.
Oh, as a bookmaker, I understand what I have to do. I'm talking about as a human being. How do I respond to that?
We're talking about someone who interacts with other people.
You said
you went to me the third, so I just figured I would be the same.
You want me to lead with you? I can lead with you next time.
Maybe. I mean, I was going to go over, and then Evan asked me what I was going to do, and I said I was going to go over, and then he also went over, and I was also going to bring in the Thunder, Kevin Durant stuff, but then that got taken from me. So then I was like, I guess I'll just be different by being the same, because I was going to also say Kevin Durant would be the one. But I'll throw in there, too, that with all this NBA portal stuff being thrown out there by Woj, maybe Steph gets another superstar. Maybe LeBron joins the Warriors. That can't happen because of the money. But, you know, there's at least enough elsewhere in that bet with Curry and LeBron that I'll take the over.
I like how that progressed. You started with very little, and then you started to ramp up like a freight train. You threw Evan under the bus. Then you got into a completely different take about the Warriors. That was relatively strong stuff.
That response had everything right there.
Yeah.
and for getting off to a somewhat questionable start, then you really saved it. Well done.
It's like a 14-pitch at bat right there. It's a way to get on base.
The only thing missing from that being a Stu Gotts rant was just a, how about that, at the end?
That's good.
It's a 14-pitch at bat where Evan's the umpire and he got drilled three times by the ball.
Everybody in the stands is like, can this at bat just end? Good God, it's the 33rd game of the season. Let's get out of here.
So are you adjusting your price?
I mean, you guys have forced me to. The first three guys, I consider you all to be very sharp. So, I got to juice it, though. I can't be moving up to one because no one wants to end on a push. And I don't want to go to 1.5 because I think I'm going to take a ton of under money on that. So, I got to just juice it now. I'm going to go over minus 225.
Over minus 225.
Yeah, so if the three of you want to line up again and go over, you're going to be paying for the privilege. Minus 225 to win 100.
Just quickly, would the other fellas pay that juice?
Would you guys pay that? Would you guys lay that right there?
I'd probably go the other way if the juice is coming in on the under.
Guess what? Other ways, even money. You get a lousy straddle here.
Oh.
That's what I gave you nice pricing earlier. I'm not doing it now. I'm going to give you a terrible straddle.
I'll take my business elsewhere.
Yeah, that's smart. That's pretty smart.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. What do you think? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you had to take Steph, LeBron, KD, package them together, are you taking the over or the under on a half a championship between them? So do they win one between the three of them? We'll take your calls in moments. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Couple player props in the Mavericks-Clippers showdown tonight. Game 5, number 1, Norman Powell of the Clippers. We're going to go over 12.5 points. It's priced at plus 115. He stands to benefit the most from no Kawhi Leonard, who is not playing tonight. Powell's minutes have been up the last two games. One of those games was without Leonard. The other was with a severely limited Leonard, so they leaned on him more. He scored a grand total of 32 points over those two games. So, boom, Norman Powell over 12.5 points. In addition, we're going to go James Harden under 22.5 points. He's been under this number in 2 of 4 games this series. He had a ridiculous shooting night in Game 4. He was 12 of 17 from the floor. He was 4 of 5 from deep. I'm betting on regression in that matchup for Harden. So those are your two player props in Game 5 tonight. We got Norman Powell over 12.5 points, plus 115. James Harden under 22.5 points.
And we've got all the action of the Clippers and Mavericks tonight right here on ESPN Radio, the home of the NBA playoffs. It is presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and Sirius XM Channel 80. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Taking some calls on a proposition that Joe just put out there. LeBron, Steph, KD. Between the three of them, do any of them win a championship? The prop is a half a championship combined amongst the three of them. So if you take the over, you're saying that they've got one at least left between the three of them. If you're taking the under, you're saying, nope, not one of those guys is going to win another title. So let's go to Travis in Durham, North Carolina, first on ESPN Radio. Hey, Travis, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show. Joe, we got screwed today. That ball was high and inside on
right?
That first pitch.
Yes, oh my God. It was high and inside. That Hulk wants to get the hell out of there.
Do we have Angel exactly. Hernandez behind the plate today? Who did we have? Oh, my God.
Thank you for that
call. He's called that one before. I got a flight.
Okay, guys. So before I answer the question, I got one question. If any of those three players combine, does it count as, like, two?
Yes.
Like, if LeBron was to join KD and they won a championship, would that be two?
Yes, that's two, because LeBron would have one and KD would have one. So if all three of them got together on the same team in Golden State and they won one championship next year, that would be three total titles because they'd each have one.
I'm going to take the over, and I'm going to take over 1.5 because I say that's going to happen. They're going to team up, and somebody's going to win a championship.
Here we go with the alt lines. Well, yeah. Who's teaming up?
I think it's going to be KD and LeBron.
Okay. LeBron goes to Phoenix or KD goes to LA?
Listen.
Imagine LeBron joining KD in Phoenix.
It doesn't strike me that those two would join together. I almost feel like of those combinations, I feel like the best opportunity for something to happen would have been LeBron and Curry. And they did talk about it right at the trade deadline. In Golden State.
I think Golden State made the call according to the reports, and then Jeannie Buss passed it along to LeBron's representation because they wanted him to be aware of it so that they could weigh in on it, and they rebuffed. But it's funny. I mean, on one hand, you'd think more guys would be lining up to try to play with Steph because he's so selfless and he's so good. But then on the other hand, it's got to be so intimidating to go to Golden State knowing that that is his team and his city. And he's so humble about it, which is why it's so solidified.
Let's hit Jeff in Tennessee next on ESPN Radio. Jeff, what do you think?
Hey, guys. I think it's the over for sure, but I also think here's something that my kooky brain, which you guys will like. The Spurs could have two picks in the top 10 plus another pick. I say they burn one of those picks on Bronny. LeBron comes to San Antonio to play with Wemby, and then other people follow, maybe Curry.
I think there is zero chance of LeBron playing in San Antonio.
I mean, that looks too much like chasing, and I think he protects the rep a little bit more than that. But
yeah.
Wembanyama is going to attract a certain level of superstar. That kid is legit, and that franchise stinks. They have built very poorly around him so far. Like, this is a big offseason for San Antonio. That's going to be talking point, like, number 141 in the NBA offseason.
Yeah.
It should be a top 5 talking point because that kid can transform the league.
Well, in the transfer portal, so to speak, as Woj just called it, I would expect people would be lining up to play with him. I just don't see LeBron going to San Antonio, Texas. I don't see that. And you're right. It feels like chasing. It just doesn't feel like a likely scenario.
No state tax down there. Like, we say those things, and then people are like, yeah, whatever, they're making millions. Do you have any idea? And I do not. I can just imagine. I definitely do not. But do you know what it's like to go from state tax to no state tax or vice versa? I was just in Nevada. I was just in Nevada for 3 years after being in San Francisco. I watched so much money come out of my check. I went to Nevada. It was incredible how much more money I was making. And then I moved to Connecticut, which is like second in tax rate, and I watched it all disappear again.
What are we talking about? 10%? Difference?
It depends. I mean, it could be as high as, I think, 12 or 13 sometimes.
Oh, my God.
But it is a massive number. We're talking millions. Like, when you start calculating a $40 million a year salary and what that means with no state tax versus, you know, California state tax or Connecticut state tax, although no NBA team here, so I'm not sure why I would need to bring that up. It's a massive amount of money. Massive. Just one season of that has you scratching your head going, I could get a yacht. I mean, that tax alone on $40 million is enough to set your family up.
Your calls on the election coming up, 888-ESPN. Here's Henry in Los Angeles. Henry, what's up, dude? What do you think?
Hey, I'm going under.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's over. We've got the golden years. We've got everything we've ever wanted from these amazing stars. And it's time to let them sunset and let this new league. You know, I think we're in the Denver dynasty now. Well, speaking as a Clippers fan, hoping we win tonight.
Yeah, listen, I don't think you're wrong about the Denver dynasty possibilities. I wonder how long it'll last when you look at some of the other teams that are up and coming, like Oklahoma City. I do think we're going to have Denver's going to win multiple championships, but it's going to be a dogfight to do it. But this is why I would go the under. And I probably would pay the $225 price. I probably would.
Yeah. This next series for Denver, by the way, which we'll be doing soon enough, the T-Wolves open plus 200. That's down to plus 160. There's Timberwolves money in the market for this next series. It doesn't mean they're going to win, but in terms of pricing, there are guys who feel that price is off.
Is that where that number would be at Fortinball Palace?
Who am I to argue, right?
It's Fortinball Palace.
I like Minnesota, at least at that price. I like Minnesota at that price is what I'm saying. Last year, they gave the Nuggets hell, and they didn't have, I believe they were down Naz Reid, and they were down Jaden McDaniels. Like, Ant was coming into his own. Ant's a star now, and those two other guys are healthy. Like, this is going to be a war for Denver. That series could be the best in the entire postseason.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Don't forget tonight, an NHL doubleheader on the network. It is Vegas and Dallas, 7:30 on ESPN. That series is tied at 2 apiece in Los Angeles visiting Edmonton. Edmonton with a chance to close things out at home, 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. One NFL team could actually be facing a huge issue if their top pick lights it up immediately. That's next. Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and on the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Barbasol Shaving Cream. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
Game of C, it's obviously Michael Penix Jr. I like him. I don't love the pick.
This is not a process-driven organization. There's no way in 5.5 weeks you can say we want A and then we want B.
This is still a very good football team that absolutely can contend with the division, and the addition of Michael Penix doesn't minimize that.
You either messed up by paying Kirk Cousins that much money, or you messed up by drafting his successor 2 years too early. Like, you want to be too early on quarterbacks, not too late, not after you just give a guy $100 million guaranteed.
Welcome to what your next year at least is going to look like in Atlanta. A lot of discussion around this decision. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80 on your smart speaker. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Look, if I'm Kirk Cousins right now, I'm very unhappy with the situation because I did have other options to go and get the amount of money that I did. And I have to feel like I'm somewhat betrayed here, do I not? When they basically said to me, yeah, we might be looking to take it a quarterback, but probably later in the draft. And I'm trying to get somebody to help me.
You have every right to feel that way. The most important thing would be to make sure you don't go public with that because there aren't going to be a whole lot of people that look at all the money you've made and all the playoff games you haven't won and say, oh, man, I feel awful for Kirk Cousins that they did this to him. Like, you're an employee. It's unfortunate that that happened, but you're a really well-compensated employee who doesn't necessarily have much of a postseason resume to lean on right now.
I think that's fair. And Kirk Cousins doesn't strike me as somebody that would go public about it. The problem is, I think the second he says it to anybody, even if he addresses it privately, it gets public.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I got to hear what Chris Russo said. He was on First Take this morning. Of course, Mad Dog Wednesdays. What would he do if he were Kirk Cousins with the Falcons?
Who cares what Kirk Cousins thinks? You got $90 million guaranteed, and you've won one playoff game in your life. You know what you do if you're Kirk Cousins? You get your butt to Atlanta as far as training camp is concerned. You play great football, and you make sure Penix can't play because you're playing so damn well. And I'll tell you something else you do. If you're such a great, if somebody walked into my radio station thinking that he was the heir apparent, you know what I do? I teach him everything about radio. Because he ain't going to be better than me.
The best. Just the best. Just the best. Look, I get it. He's getting all the money. And there are not going to be a whole lot of people that are crying for him. But how much of what this decision was do we honestly think was based in money? Like, if we're going to start talking about what the resume says and all that stuff, hey, there were a few teams more than willing to give him that amount of money.
Yeah, he's been really smart financially throughout his career. Like, we're going to go back and look at Kirk Cousins' career 10, 15 years down the line, and we're going to say, damn, he got paid an exorbitant amount of money for, so far, very little in return.
He's going to be a class at Wharton, is what he's going
to
be.
Like, he's put up some numbers. He's won some games. And I know, like, we'll point to that playoff loss to the Giants, and we'll say, well, the defense didn't really come up. Yeah, it was Daniel Jones and the Giants. They weren't that great. Like, if you need to win a shootout, you can go win a shootout there. First guy to get the fully guaranteed deal, got two of them with Minnesota. Like, he has had a remarkable career financially. So now here we are. I love the fact that Atlanta did this. I think this is a great talking point from the moment it happened all the way until it eventually ends. Like, this is not going to go away. We are going to talk about this all summer, and as soon as the season starts, we are going to dissect this because one of two things happens in week one. Option A, Kirk Cousins plays really well, and everyone goes, oh my God, Cousins looks fantastic. He's back from injury. He's playing well. Why did you wait to that pick on Penix when you could have had someone that helps you now because this might be an NFC Championship caliber type team? Or you have option B, Cousins doesn't play well, and everyone goes, get Penix in there now, and you have a quarterback controversy on your hands. The Falcons have done an excellent job of starting a new regime with drama surrounding it right from the outset. Like, I love it. I love everything about it based on what we do for a living.
Well, based on what we do, I totally agree. I mean, we're set. We're set when it comes to the Falcons for the next couple of years, it feels like. As far as Raheem Morris trying to win, I think that's problematic because that's always going to be a discussion. So here's the question. What happens if Penix outplays Cousins in July and August? I mean, it's not so nuts to suggest when you factor in that Penix is 24 years old. Like, this is an older guy who, despite his injury past, has still played a good amount of football.
Like, think of your options there. Penix looks great, and maybe Cousins comes out, and he's coming off the injury, and he looks a little sluggish. You have, again, two options. You start Cousins, and then everyone in the locker room is going to look at you and go, is this the best option for us to win, or is this the best option for you guys to look good? Because if you're going to start the guy who doesn't give us the best chance to win, we got questions about what we're doing here, and that will cause a locker room problem. Or option B, you start Penix. And now everyone's going to question why you spent $180 million on Kirk Cousins. And everyone's going to say, man, if you were going to draft Penix at 8, why didn't you use that money on other veterans that could help you win now? I don't see a scenario where these guys win unless Cousins balls out and they go and win the Super Bowl. And then we all just kind of forget that they used the pick on Penix. Because at that point, it'll be, yeah, they got their guy of the future, and they were good enough to win now.
In this instance, if Penix actually outplays him, you have to have an exit strategy for Cousins before you put Penix in front of him. I think you have to have that exit strategy right away and ready to go. And you would hope that, and again, you obviously have to do a lot of maneuvering when it comes to the cap, but you would hope that you would be able to trade him. I would think you would be able to trade him if you can get that ironed out. Secondly, Cousins not ready to start the year from a health standpoint. Penix starts out. They come out of the gate. Let's do it within reason.
Okay.
3-1. 4-1. Cousins is ready week 6.
So I got to ask a follow-up to that, because you can look, you can go 4-1 with below average quarterback play. Like, you could get a soft schedule.
No, he's played well.
Okay, that's, I need that.
Hey,
okay.
Has he been the complete reason? I'll say no.
But he looks good.
But he looks good.
Okay, so he's looking like Jordan Love's second half of the season. Like, Packers are like, very, you know, good.
Let's say, like, you know, 7 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Yeah, you got to stick with him. Why would you yank him? If you're the whole point of this business is to win. If you're winning, why would you mess with that? Like, there are times where guys, like, this is the big argument you get into with some people sometimes. Who would you rather have? The pitcher who's 10-0 with a 10 ERA, or the pitcher who's 0-10 with a 1 ERA? Like, you have these knuckleheads that are like, I'd rather have the guy who's 10-0 with a 10 ERA. It means we're winning. You're not winning because of him, though. You'd be winning just as much with the other guy. You just wouldn't be giving up as many runs. Like, if you're winning and he's playing well, you're not messing with that. Now, if you're winning games and he's playing average to below average football, and you realize, all right, we can upgrade quarterback. We're very lucky. We've had a solid defense. We played some bad teams that have made a lot of mistakes. Like, then you make the switch. But then you have to worry about if you rattled the kid's confidence. Like, now you have to start thinking, did we throw him in there too soon? And then we yanked him, and now he's going to be doubting himself his whole career.
This would be the one instance where I would not have a problem continuing to play Penix, because that whole idea of you don't lose your job by an injury, I've always thought that's been crap. We're playing well. Our job's to win. He's playing well. We're continuing to ride this until it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, without question. Like, if he's playing well and you're winning, who messes with that? What kind of idiot gets in the way and says, look, everyone, got to make a change here. Things are going too great. Everyone's happy. We're winning. We're doing exactly what we set out to do. Let's see if we can tinker with it at the most important position on the field. You have to be crazy.
20 seconds. Best case scenario for us, this is. Cousins starts slow. What's the leash?
Yeah, Cousins starts slow. Cousins starts slow is absolutely the best case scenario, because they can't, they've already said, well, he can rest 3 or 4 years. Like, they can't go to Penix if he starts slow. And if they do, then they show the entire world they were full of crap. Like, either way, they have created no outs.
Define starting slow. We got 10 seconds.
1-3. Say you're 1-3. Say you're 1-2. Like, they're supposed to be a good football team.
I think it would probably take 5 games, but I'd bring out that hook. Oh. It would be amazing for our call.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.